us today.
Hallelujah. God is great and greatly to be praised. And it is so good to be here today with you and with the Smith family. What great people. I want to tell you, that's important. I want to tell you, you can have confidence in this pastor and his family and their leadership. Him and his dad, we're more the same age, obviously, and have known them now for 40 years, probably. And his dad's one of my best friends on the planet, and the family, both his sons have grown up to be preachers and pastors, and this is a family that you don't ever have to doubt about them being honest and forthright and taking a stand for the truth. Amen. These are great people, and I believe God's going to do great things right here. Amen. Praise God. And Sister Smith, Amanda, was a special friend of my mother's, and that's kind of a unique situation, because my mom was probably in her 80s, wasn't she, when she was still independent and able to get out and go to church by herself. And she's a newlywed, basically. And they became great friends. And my mom used to talk a lot about Sister Smith. So we're glad to be here and to see this beautiful building. Beautiful building. It looks great. I would not be ashamed to bring anybody here to worship God. How about you? Amen. So God is good. It's good to have my big brother right here. I don't know if I should call him big. I probably outweigh him. He's my older brother, okay? I'm the youngest of nine, so I tell him, man, you guys are getting old. Because I'm not getting younger. They're all older than I am. Praise God. Amen. Psalms, the second chapter. Such a joy to be here. I have looked forward to this occasion. I had a chance to meet with some of your leaders before church and just talk about great things that God can do, and just try to get a vision of what the Lord's going to do right here in this city in the future of this church. And when a few weeks ago I knew I was coming and I began to think about what I could preach or minister to here, it just seems like this particular message was the only thing on my mind. And so I feel like it's the will of the Lord for today. And some of these songs and things you've already sang just seem to confirm it. So Psalms, the second chapter and the seventh verse says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Man, I'm going to talk today about kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And I'm not really going to get back to that scripture till kind of the end of it. I'm going to talk about these first few scriptures first. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and honor of being here today. God, and I pray, God, that this Holy Ghost we feel moving in this house will bear witness with the preaching of your word. God, and I just pray that your hand will rest upon each and every one of us, upon this church. Speak to us, enlarge our vision, increase our faith this very day, and we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Let's give you one more great hand praise. What do you say? You may be seated today. Good to see everyone here in the house of the Lord. You know, I've never been to Winnemac. I didn't live that far from here. I'd never been to Culver. Just said never passed through that particular town. So yesterday on my way from Indianapolis, I came this way on purpose, went through here and went by Bass Lake and Culver, and a lot of lakes in this area, beautiful region. And so it's good to be here. The psalm writer, amen, he says, I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And David wrote this 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. This is a prophecy about Christ. It was repeated in Hebrews, the first chapter also, for the New Testament church. That thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Amen. The prophecy was decreed. And the psalm itself was about Jesus Christ. But when he spoke that, folks, when he declared it by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it had to come to pass. Nothing could stop it. You understand, a couple hundred years later, Jerusalem was actually destroyed by the Babylonians. They were carried into captivity. Man, after 70 years, they came back from captivity and rebuilt that city and restored the nation of Israel. But whatever happened wasn't going to stop this from happening. Because when God speaks, friend, it will surely come to pass. Man, over 63 times the Bible says, it shall come to pass. Friend, there may be things in your life that may not have happened yet. But if you have a promise from God, amen, you keep believing that promise. Amen, keep on living for God. It shall come to pass. The Bible says about Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1 and 20. He said, he was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. But he was manifest in these last times for you. Turn to somebody and say, he did it for you. And the whole plan, the whole incarnation, the whole plan of salvation. Amen. God unfolded it for me and you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did it for us. Amen. The decree was made and nothing could stop it. Isaiah prophesied a couple hundred years later, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Amen. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. He would establish a kingdom that would never end. Amen. It was spoken and it came to pass. Amen. We believe what the Bible says about Jesus. How many believe Jesus was the one these scriptures were prophesied about? Amen. How many believe Jesus is alive and well today? Do you believe that? You got faith. You have faith. If you believe Jesus Christ is alive and is on the throne this very day, you have faith. Man, we believe what the Bible says about Jesus, but we don't always believe what it says about us. Oh, yeah, Jesus, he's great, he's mighty, he's wonderful, he's powerful. Yes, I believe it too. But listen to some things the Bible says about us. In Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That sounds about like what he said about Jesus Christ. He was ordained for the foundation of the world and then was manifested to us in these last days. But God said, I chose you, chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That we, everybody say we.
That means us.
Just us. Amen. He that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, he has predestinated us to the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That same chapter, the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things which are in Christ, which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. Amen. God made salvation easy, folks. Everything that you need is in Jesus Christ. Everything we need in the spiritual world, everything we need in the natural world, whether the things in heaven or things on earth, amen, he wrapped it all up in one neat package and gave us Jesus Christ. But he goes on, in whom also we, now we're not talking about Jesus, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. I believe he was crucified and rose the third day. Amen. I believe he ascended into heaven. Amen. I believe he's on the throne this morning. Come on, we believe that, don't we? I believe this is the church of the living God. I believe we are the sons and daughters of God. And that who Jesus Christ was, amen, we are now upon this earth. What's the Bible call us? The sons of God. Now, we're not the son of God. But we are made in his image and likeness. Hallelujah. And we are the sons and daughters of God this very day. We got to start believing what the Bible says about us. We believe what it says about him. But it's amazing how much these scriptures sound the same. What it said about him, now it says about us. Amen. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Now the church, the Bible said, we are the body of Christ. Now we're God manifest in the flesh. We're what the world sees. Amen. We're how God shares the gospel. We're how people get healed. Oh, he's going to heal them. Amen. But he said, you're the one that's going to go lay hands on them and pray for them. Amen. You're the one that's going to go touch them and believe God for them. And we are the body of Christ. We are his body upon the face of the earth today. Amen. Let me give you about a 10-minute Bible study of Romans, the 8th chapter, all right? It's beautiful how this chapter unfolds. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Christ rose from the dead. Now he resurrects us from the dead. Amen. Sometimes we don't really realize what happens when people get saved. Come on, when somebody is born again of the water and spirit, a resurrection takes place. The Bible said you were dead in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, and we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Man, we were dead, but God came along and resurrected us from the dead. And now we're alive in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of the law of life in Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 11, one of the most shocking scriptures in the Bible. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Come on, you hear us shout about Holy Ghost and hear us talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. And Acts 1:8 says you shall receive power when you receive the Holy Ghost. You want to know why we get so fired up about that? It said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that God wants to put in you. Wow. You talk about potential. You talk about power. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Amen. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Romans 8 and 17. So now, because we've been set free by the Spirit of the law of life, now because we've been resurrected from the death and sin, now we've become the sons of God. Romans 8 and 17, if we're his children, then we're his heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Come on, John said, as he was in this world, so are we. Man, it says we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of the present are not time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So we have become the heirs of God. We have become the sons and daughters of God. Come on, everything that heaven possesses, amen, is available to God's children. It belongs to God's people. He gathered all things in heaven and in earth, and he presented them to us. Amen. We have the opportunity, amen, to manifest the power and glory of God to this generation. Amen. The scripture said the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Come on, the world's waiting for us to wake up and realize who we are and what we possess and begin to manifest the power of God to this generation. Hallelujah. And then the 28th verse. See, we know these scriptures, but when I started to put them all together, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. I'm telling you, friend, you just need to get yourself in the big middle of the will of God and stay there. Man, you're as good as glorified. Hallelujah. And he says, and what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Everybody say us. Not just Jesus, us, me and you, this church, Winnemac, Indiana. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's going to work all things together for our good. He's going to make it all come together. Hallelujah. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also give freely us all things? Come on, God said, look, I'm going to unfold this unbelievable redemptive plan. I mean, God was manifest in the flesh and incarnate, walked in this world, offered himself up as a sacrifice, defeated death, hell, and the grave, overcame the powers of darkness, amen, bought back the rights to the human race, and he went through all that for what? For us. I got news for you, friend. You're on the winning team if you just wake up and realize it. Come on, we're not on a gravy train, but we're on a glory train. Amen. God said, everything I have is available to you. Amen. You have to believe. If God called us, just like I said, amen, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to the purpose of God. If God called us here, if God put us here, then he has what we need. He already has everything we need. Amen. We got to go out there and get it sometimes. We got to go find it sometimes. We got to believe it sometimes. We got to pray it down. But mark it down, friend. Everything we need to accomplish the will of God in this city and in our lives, God has made available for us. Amen. Everything we need. Too often we're like Israel. Man, amazing story, the story of Moses. The time frame of Moses is the most miraculous dispensation in the Bible, with the exception of Christ himself when he was here on earth. I mean, God did so many miracles. It's shocking. Brought the great nation at that time. Egypt was the most advanced civilization on earth possibly, at least in the whole Middle East. Brought them to their knees. Released the children of Israel. Went out to the Red Sea and looked like they were trapped, and God opened up the Red Sea. Now, he could have made them wade across the Red Sea knee-deep in mud. They could have slopped their way through and ended up on the other side. We made it, but we look a mess, man. The Bible said they walked across on what? I mean, he did unbelievable miracles. And then every day they wake up and there's bread on the ground. I mean, they literally, they saw a miracle every morning. Go out and gather up that manna and whatever is in that manna. The Bible said they did eat angels' food. First angel food cake. Right out there in the wilderness. Whatever is in it, it was packed with protein, man. Because it sustained them for 40 years. And they spent all their time shouting the victory, right? They whined, they complained, they murmured, they fussed. God got so mad at them once, he said, Moses, just step aside, I'm going to kill them all, I'll start over with you. He said that. He said, I'll make a nation out of you, Moses. I'm done with them. And Moses stood right there and said, before you kill them, God, you got to kill me. Somehow, it never dawned on them who they were and what God was doing for them and where he was taking them. They were on a journey to the promised land. Amen, to enjoy great blessings from Almighty God. But they just murmured and complained, and most of them perished in the wilderness. Man, the last few scriptures, Romans 8, man, it talked about he set us free from the spirit of law of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. He gave me resurrection power through the Holy Ghost. He made me a son and daughter of God. He's provided everything that I need for this journey. And then the last few verses says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, friend. All we need to do is make the kind of commitment to God that he has made to us. He's given us all things that we need. Amen. He said, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. Amen. Here's a dynamic duel that cannot be defeated. A God that cannot fail. And people who will not quit. Friend, you put that together. And you got a dynamic duel operating right here on the face of the earth. Amen. A God working on our behalf and a people who are sold out and committed to him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Isaiah prophesied, behold, I and the children who the Lord God hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel, saith the Lord of hosts, for which them which dwell in Mount Zion. Amen. His children are signs and wonders. We got to remind ourselves the greatest miracle of all is still salvation. The greatest miracle of all is still a life transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we got to remind ourselves of that and realize that you are the miracle. Come on, it's a miracle that you're in church on Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday afternoon, excuse me. It's a miracle, hallelujah, that you're in this place because there's a world of sin out there today. Amen. It's a miracle that there's a church in this city. Amen. 2,000 years and 7,000 miles away from Jerusalem when the church was first born. Hallelujah. Come on, there's an apostolic, Jesus' name, New Testament church in Winnemac, Indiana. You are the miracle. Let's realize it and let God work through us. Job 9 and 10, who doeth great things past finding out? Yea, wonders without number. I got news for you, friend. There's a miracle every morning for you too. Friend, you wake up and see the sunshine and you start a brand new day, you're beholding the miracles of God. Come on, we're breathing his air. Amen. We're going to go eat some of his food here after a while. Amen. You know, there's 7.2, 7.3 billion people on this planet. And there are enough provisions to provide for every one of them. The only place people are starving to death is where there's bad government. And if the government will listen, the United States will send them the food. And they do sometimes, and the government steals it, and people still starve to death. I'm just telling you, there's provisions enough on this planet for 7.5 billion people. They're already here. They're already here. Hallelujah. Psalm 77 and 14, one of my favorite scriptures. Amen. It says, "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou declared thy strength among thy people." I love the NIV. It says, "Thou art the God who does miracles. You display your power among the people." Come on, we serve a miraculous God. He said he does miracles without number. Amen. You can walk up to this altar today and receive an absolute miracle. You know what? You can come back next Sunday and get another one. God doesn't put a limit on it. No, you only get three miracles. That's it, man. He does miracles without number. That's the kind of God we serve, and we just got to start believing that this great God has chosen us to be his sons and his daughters. Amen. Declare the decree. Amen. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Hallelujah. He said, you can claim the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. For yourself. Whatever we need on this earth, our God will provide it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to the preacher here this morning. Hallelujah. I got some challenges coming up in the next year. And I'm telling you, I just got to believe, amen, that God is going to do it. That God is going to supply the needs. That God's going to make a way. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and the people that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. Hallelujah. And who's he want to give it to? Sinners to squander it, to waste it, to abuse it. He would rather place it in our hands as good stewards of the kingdom of God. Again, I'm not telling you, friend, God's going to make us a bunch of rich, fat cats. But I am telling you, he will give us everything we need to accomplish his will. To accomplish his purpose. He already has it. It's already there. We just got to declare it and believe it. Jesus himself said when he's still here on earth, amen, in Luke the 10th chapter, he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And so he set a plan in motion himself. He appointed 70. He said, all right, now, this is kind of a pre-runner of the Great Commission. You know, he was still alive here at that time. He said, all right, you 70, I want you to go out there and preach the gospel. I'm going to be coming to these cities. He sent them to specific cities. You tell them I'm coming in a short time, but you guys get out there and tell them first. Hallelujah. And then you pray for the sick, and you cast out devils, and you minister to people. And they did. They went out, 70 of them. And they came back, and they said, they rejoiced. Said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. This thing works. It works. And then he said to them, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Come on, when? After they went out and they started preaching the gospel. Friend, the Bible said the devils believe there's one God and tremble. Let me tell you what else they tremble at. The day we wake up and realize who we are and what we possess in God. Come on, friend. We have power over the enemy. He doesn't want us to discover that. He doesn't want us to exercise that. He don't want us to believe that. He wants us to think he's the big bad wolf, you know, and we need to go run and hide. But Jesus said, I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy. He said, I'll give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Come on, friend. We are the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Come on. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life today, friend, you've got something greater than this world could ever give you. You have the greatest possession on the planet. I'm just an old farm boy. Don't believe it, ask my brother. He still runs the Lappin Farms up in North Liberty, Indiana, and he used to be my boss. I worked for him. He saved my life. He saved my life. I was out there in the streets, and I was going down the tubes, and my life was a shambles, and he put me to work on the farm. Something about farmer boy to put your feet back on the ground, won't it? Nothing more down to earth than farming. And he put me to work, and it wasn't long after that, once I got my feet back on the ground and got my head cleared out, I started turning toward God. Hallelujah. And but I don't even know where I was going. Where was I going? Appreciate my brother being here today. Amen. But we are the people of God. Amen. And we have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. For God has ordained his church, and he has invested power in his church. And he said, you can speak to that mountain. And he goes on and says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Right. Amen. How many got something you really like to see God do? Something you really, not just some whim, not just some fleeting thought. There's something you really want to see God do. Come on, friend, you got to say it. You got to pray it. You got to believe it. And then, he said, it shall come to pass. Come on, let's take a minute right now. Whatever's in your mind and your spirit, what's that one thing you want to see God do more than anything else? Come on, let's exercise that power he has invested in us as sons and daughters right now. Lord Jesus, I just believe today. God, I know all over this congregation of this size even, there are many needs represented, God. There are sons and daughters represented here, Lord. There are children that need God. Hallelujah. There are needs that need supplied. There are doors that need to be opened, God, and we just proclaim them today. God, we speak those things, Lord, and we just believe you, God, that it shall come to pass that we shall have these very things today. Praise God. You know, God has this astounding power. The Bible said he speaks to things that are not as though they already were. And when the Bible said the earth was without form or void and darkness covered the water, and God said, let there be light. What happened? There was light. And seven times, and God said. And when God said it, it came to pass. Folks, he's given us. He's invested this power in us. Now, you can go off on the deep end and get wacko and crazy. But I'm just telling you, the things you need in your life, the things this church needs, friend, you pray them, speak them into existence. I've used this illustration many times. 1987, Ronald Reagan made a trip to East Germany, East Berlin. And the Iron Curtain still existed then. And East Berlin and West Berlin were separated, and East Germany and West Germany were separated. Eastern Europe and Western Europe were separated. After World War II, they called it the Iron Curtain. The Russians came in, took absolute control of all those countries. And so Ronald Reagan went to East Berlin, and it was a great point of controversy on his staff. Should he say it or shouldn't he say it? He wanted to say it, but some of his advisors said, don't say it, don't say it. But he stood up and he gave a speech that day. And in the middle of that speech, the Brandenburg Gate was right behind him, which represented kind of the beginning of the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain. He turned around and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. Now, some of you, they're not quite as old as some of the rest of us. You may not know what it meant. For almost 50 years, from the 1945 till into the early 1990s anyway, the Iron Curtain existed. Millions of people were held captive by the bondage of communism. And one man stood there and he said, "Tear this wall down." And people said, "That'll never happen." Not 20 years, not 50 years, 2 or 3 years later, friend, that wall came tumbling down. And East and West Berlin were united. East and West Germany were united. The communist curtain fell. Most of those nations are a part of NATO today instead of the communist regime. Because somebody stood up and said, "Tear this wall down." I'm not going to testify to President Reagan's spirituality, okay? He was a good guy. But we are the sons and daughters of God. I'm telling you, sometimes we just have to speak things into existence. You may be looking for a job, and it doesn't exist. That's all right, because God can create it. I got a couple folks in my church, my associate pastor, they created a position just to hire him. Because they wanted him so bad. They said, "We're going to create a position. We'll make up one for you just because we want you to be our employee." I'm just telling you, folks, God has everything that we need. Everything that we need. Now, let me come back to Psalms. And I told you I would come back to this at the end of this, and I'm just about done. Psalms, the second chapter. He said this in the 12th verse. "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way." Amen. And it doesn't seem like it fits kind of right here. It's like he just shifts directions. But the more I got to thinking about it, no, it fits right in there. Let me ask you this. Where are you going to find a God like this? Who else can stand there and say, "I can't say it. I will supply your every need through my riches and glory in Christ Jesus"? I can't say that. I can't stand here and say, I'll answer every one of your prayers. I'll help you every time you need help. I'll be there every time you. I can't say that. Who else can say it? Only a God this great can make those kind of promises. He is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's all this and so much more. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Friend, adjectives run out when you try to describe who Jesus Christ is and all that he's already done. Now, who else can do all that for you? God help us. Let us not be like Israel. He did all of it for them. And what did? They murmured, they complained, they fussed till they perished in the wilderness. Come on, we need to be like David. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye people." Amen. For the Lord is good, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. God is good to us. Amen. God has blessed us. Amen. God will do things for us no one else could ever think about doing that. Come on, there is no substitute for Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for salvation. Amen. There is no substitute for the presence of God. You know, a lot of other churches sometimes, a lot of the music we sing is similar to what other churches sing. Lots of times you go into a lot of contemporary churches now, I mean, they're clapping their hands and they're rejoicing. I want to tell you, friend, you don't need to go there and find out, but I'm telling you, it ain't the same. When you worship God in spirit and in truth, there is a presence and an anointing for which there is no substitute. I mean, you can't fake it. You can't create it. You can't imitate it. There is no substitute for God's presence in our lives. Come on, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Man, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. Come on, who else can do all that for you? And you know what God says? There's only one thing I want. I want your worship. I want your praise. I want you to be thankful. I'm going to do all this for you that I've been preaching on the last 40 minutes. I'm going to do all this for you. And there's something I want you to do for me. And come on, the 10 lepers. Christ himself. 10 lepers came and said, go on down to the temple and offer the sacrifice for the cleansing of the leper. And the scripture said, while they were on their way, they were healed. You understand, at that time, leprosy basically was incurable. All 10 of them were healed. And one of them turned around and came back and gave thanks. And even Jesus said, did I heal all 10? Where's the other 9 at? What do you think he's going to do for that one who will return and give thanks? Let me ask you a question. If God answers your prayer and he supplies your needs and he does some miracles for you, and you don't ever thank him for it, why should he do any more for you? You see, there's something I want from you. And you know, Ephesus became the epicenter of the early Gentile church. Jerusalem was the first kind of headquarters of the church, but when the Romans came in and destroyed it, Christians were scattered all over the Roman Empire. And Ephesus became the leading apostolic church. The great revival of 7 churches of Asia, they all started from Ephesus. And so Ephesus was this great, powerful, spiritual Gentile church. And so in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, you see him speak to the church in Ephesus. He said, Ephesus, said you've tried false apostles, and you've stood fast on the truth, and you've done all these great works. And Ephesus, man, you're a great, powerful church. And then he said, but I have somewhat against thee. You've lost your first love. What's the first thing the Bible tells us? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. God said, I'm going to do all this for you. I want you to do something for me. I want you to love me. I want you to serve me. I want you to worship me. Colossians, the 1st chapter. Giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light, who hath delivered us. He's doing all this stuff for us. From the powers of darkness. Who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. He's doing all these things for us. Who is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by him all things were created. Heaven on earth. Visible or invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You owe your life to God. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for God. The air we breathe wouldn't exist. And the resources we consume wouldn't exist. The food that we eat wouldn't exist. Everything was created by him and for him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He said, I did all this for you. I want you to recognize one thing. I am preeminent. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be out of here. Come on, everything else compared to him are just things. Preeminence means far and above. Preeminent. Everything else is down here. God's up here. And God said, that's what I want from you. I'm going to do all this for you. I unfolded this whole redemptive plan. I unfolded the whole incarnation and the death on the cross and the resurrection and the new birth and the New Testament church. I did all this for you. I'll heal your body. I'll save your soul. I'll supply your needs. I'll bless you. And man, when it's all done, I get eternal life. He said, now all this is for you. There's something I want you to do for me. I want you to recognize who I am and worship me for who I am. Amen. Let's stand around this place today and do that exact thing. Lord Jesus, we believe you. Oh God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Oh God, you're so far above us. God, it's hard for us to even grasp it sometimes. And your greatness and your glory, Lord, is beyond our human imagination sometimes. God, but somehow right here in this place today, help us to wake up and realize afresh. We are the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Everything we have, we owe to you, Jesus. Everything this church is and ever hopes to be, Jesus, you bought and paid for it on Calvary. God, everything in my life, everything you've already done for me, God, I could spend night and day just praising you and thanking you for all the goodness that you've done. God, help us not to get bogged down in this old world. God, help us not to get caught up in this old world and lose our vision of who you are and what you really want to do. God, I pray for this very church right now. God, help us to realize right here today, God, everything that we need. God, you brought us this far. You opened these doors. Here we are today, God, worshiping in a beautiful sanctuary. God, you've provided, God, and everything we need to march into the future. God, you already have it, Lord. Amen. We just need to possess it. Lord, I believe you to help us, help us, help us, help us. Lord, to be your children, to be your sons, to represent you on this planet. I believe you. I believe.
I wonder who would gather in around the front of this place tonight. Can we gather in? It's just us today. There's not a lot of externals, but I wonder if we can gather in around this front. I think it's time we need to reclaim some things that we've forgotten God has given us. It's time for us to take back some territory that the devil has stolen from us. It's time to take back some children. It's time to take back some family. It's time to take back some convictions and some things maybe that we've let dissipate in our lives right now. Can we lift our hands right now and begin to cry out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? God, I've forgotten to recognize what you've given me. I've forgotten to give you credit, God, for what you've done in my life. I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't have your presence with me right now, Jesus. I wouldn't be whole right now, God. I should have been dead, but I'm not. I should have been jailed, but I'm not. I should have been elsewhere, but I'm not. Because you give me life, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let it well up from the inside. Let it begin to burn something inside of you. A presence, a thanksgiving of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. More than anything else in this world, take this whole world, but give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
I need.
wonder if you would link up somebody beside you if it's appropriate to lift their hands with your hands to the King of Kings. Can we pray together right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're standing as a living testimony of the glory and the power. But not only that, the mercy of the Almighty God that robed himself in flesh and purchased us and bought us with his own blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give him some praise and worship all across this place? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. If you need something from God, I want you to lift your hands right now and allow him to reach down and begin to touch you in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He loves.